ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायण नमस्कृत्यो Reading from the book of the 11th canto, chapter 28, text, what is it? 25. Samahitai kakaran nagunatmabir. Vikshit yamana utakim nudushanam. Gana upeta vigatara vekim. Samahitaka karana gunatmabir. Guno bhaven mat save vikta damna. Vikshit yamana utakim nadushanam. Gana upeta vigatara vekim. Samahitaka karana gunatmabe. Guno bhaven mat save vikta damna. Vikshit yamana utakim nadushanam. Gana upeta vigatara vekim. Samahitai,
which are perfectly concentrated in meditation. Ka, what? Karanai, by senses. Gunatmavi, which are basically manifestations of the modes of nature.
Guna,
virtue.
Bhavet,
will be.
Mat,
my.
Suvivikta,
was properly ascertained.
Dhamna,
the personal identity.
Vikshit Vyamanai,
which are being agitated.
Uta,
on the other hand.
Kim,
what?
Nu,
indeed.
Dushanam,
blame.
Ganai,
by clouds.
Upetai,
which have come.
Vigatai,
or which have gone away.
Rave,
the sun.
Kim,
what? Therefore, by dependence of His Divine Grace, Shri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. For those who have properly realized my personal identity as the Supreme Godhead, what credit is there if his senses, mere products of the material modes, are perfectly concentrated in meditation? On the other hand, what blame is incurred if his senses happen to be agitated? Indeed, what does it mean to the sun if the clouds come and go? Please repeat. For one who has properly realized my personal identity.
For one who has properly realized my personal identity.
As the Supreme Godhead.
As the Supreme Godhead.
What credit is there if his senses?
What credit is there if his senses?
Mere products of the material modes.
Mere products of the material modes.
Are perfectly concentrated in meditation.
On the other hand,
what blame is incurred if his senses
happen to become agitated?
Indeed, what does it mean to the sun
if the clouds come or go?
Purport. A pure devotee of the Lord is considered eternally liberated because he has perfectly understood the Lord's transcendental personality and abode and is always engaged in serving the Lord's mission within the events of this material world while engaged in the Lord's mission. This does not change his exalted status as the Lord's eternal servitor, just as the exalted status of the sun is not changed when the sun is apparently covered by clouds.
Om Ajnana Timiram Dasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Aditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Prabhakadam Ayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanta Kalpatrubhyascha Kripasandhu Behavacha Putidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhi Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Guraha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukham Kuroti Vachalam Pangum Langa, I didn't get a creep to Mahambande. She Guru Nidin Taranam, she Paramada Bhattavam, she Chaitanya Yeshwaram.
This chapter is entitled Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga, the process of developing knowledge, does not have real value unless there is vijnan, realized aspects of how to apply the knowledge in our relationship with the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, all types of jnana can become mechanical. That we think ultimately that we are the body, that ultimately everything is based in terms of the senses. The karmis are so expert. And there are different types of gyan. There's so much knowledge there. So much medicines. So many expert politicians. But because that type of knowledge is not grounded in service to the absolute truth, it is not the gyan. It is not realized knowledge. So this verse is nicely describing what is the position of a pure devotee. He is completely aloof from the modes of material nature. Because what? Maya sukaya param uvido vimudha. He's escaped the trappings of Maya in terms of happiness and distress. He has given up the misconception or of the mass consensual trance that I am okay, you're okay. He's become freed from becoming what? A vimudha, a super, complete fool, a complete ass. It's amazing for those of us who get the opportunity to live in the Western field or travel to the Western fields. We see so many examples of this, which encourage people to understand that ultimately the process in realized knowledge means to take shelter of a Mahatma. We have to actually take shelter of a pure soul. As the Lord describes in the fourth chapter, that ultimately the process is jnana devi sarva karmani.
That this process, this knowledge, basmaset kurute tata, that it becomes burns to ashes all the reactions due to material culture, to material identification. But the conditioned souls, they have no understanding of what's real shelter of a Mahatma Darshi. They have no understanding. So then they take shelter of their so-called musicians, so-called, you know, sports stars, so-called politicians, gym all pro. I was actually in the Bangkok airport, and we were watching, you know, during the transit lounge there, and they had, you know, the American football. You know, of course, you know, in the Eptar part of the world, it's nice and warm, you know, in terms of Bangkok area. But in the USA, it is like, you know, nice, all kinds of snowflakes and, you know, dragon breath from all the gym all-pro players. Mm-hmm. And to see these guys run, you know, in the cold weather. Like I was watching last night, wonderful little Krishna, you know, the Rishasura bull and all the you know, clouds. I love that. I mean, it's amazing. I've never seen myself. I'm like 53, you know, completely like right before the tube like that. I've never like just been so disarmed and looking at his little pastimes. So whoever did this, so empowered, because it's so simplistic. It's so real to the nature of a Lord. So in this way, the karmis become bewildered. They work so hard. They become vimuta. They become transcendental fools. Not so transcendental. That they absorb themselves in these illusory experiences. So what happens is that there is an attachment. This attachment is something that you're not. I am Jim Allpro. Or I'm your next politician. What does the joke go? You know, you can tell what happens when a lawyer opens his... you tell him a lawyer... when a lawyer lies. You know when a lawyer lies? When he opens his mouth. I know on Bridge Basi at Radhakun. And he's a lawyer. But if he didn't want to go to Mathura every single day because that particular job meant he had to lie. Of course, his son is not working so hard, so he has to go to Mathura to lie a bit. I think it's 45 rupees to get back and forth. He makes 100 rupees a day. So then he can provide some milk for the family. Anyways, it's another topic. It's a very nice Brijvasi, but he's very... he doesn't work so hard. Krishna Kanai for his father. Anyways, but we see how people become bewildered in these experiences, and they become enmeshed in terms of realities of I and mine, ahamamenti. Everything belongs to me. It's mine. Srila Prabhupada in Hyderabad, he was sitting under a tree with the devotees, and I think he gave an example of like. He was sitting on the tree, and he gave an example of how a child can sit on the lap of the mother, fully protected. And so, similarly, I am training you that actually, even though you're sitting in the lap of Maya, and he slapped his thigh, you're sitting in the lap of Maya, you will not be affected. This verse is speaking about the position of a pure devotee. Because a pure devotee is not affected by this Maya Sukhaya, is not affected by these storms of material existence. Another side break, you know, commercial break, when I was in Bangkok, you know, and I have a weak point. You know, I will wear the same cloth for 5 years. If the holes get there, then I get rid of it, you know. I'm very frugal when it comes to cloth, but I have a weak point. And that's electronics. Anyways, when I was computers and, you know, occasionally not when I was just going through the different area, non-duty area, I noticed a big island, and it had all these cigarette cartons. Hundreds of cigarette cartons. But now you know, you're seeing, you know, for cigarette, because it's bad for the health, you know, in terms of cancer, causes cancer, etc. Well, they have these big displays, and the whole, you can get like, you know, full, like, six pack of these cartons. Of course, don't worry, I'm not advertising I wasn't interested in cigarettes. But I was just wondering, and all these pictures of just the most terrible reactions to for someone who smokes the cigarettes. This heavy duty, blue bodies, dead babies, and just like all these deformed aspects, just very ugly features. And I was thinking, who would want to smoke cigarettes after seeing these pictures? I'm sure you've maybe seen someone in the office, Sammy, Sananda, you notice the persons with these terrible pictures and their cigarette pack. I was thinking, who would want to do it? I was thinking, well, this is the perfection of material energy, where they have the various cigarette brands. Cool. Now, I mean, yesterday was a day where everyone goes to Myers, to get all, it's a big day sale, and they have the red lights going. Who would go to the corner where you can get this is the product that stabs you to death. Cool. Oh, cancer in the lungs. Cool. Bad breath. You lose all your friends. Cool. You can ruin everything about the car, What is so attractive about being cool? Or what is the other one? Camel, Yeah, I smoked, six packs, and I got a camel back, Whoa, very nice. Everyone knows camels, they like thorns, right? So they chew on thorns. But what happens when you chew on thorns? You cut the lip. So this camels like what's called thorn juice, their own blood. So, in other words, the camel cigarettes, oh, how nice. You smoke the camel, smoke the back, and then you get to the thorns, and then that's the negative part. You throw that out. That's the thorns is like the, filter? No, throw that out. Some people probably go, oh, I don't know. See, anyways, but the point being is that I was just amazed that Yantra Rudan Imaya, that the living entity is seated in the machine made of material energy. And they're so absorbed in this one activity of smoking cigarettes. So this is the power of the material energy, the prakshipatmaka and avarnatmaka, the covering potency and the throwing potency. Just see the power of the maya. But we can escape that. Because here we're learning about knowledge and we're learning about the quality of a pure devotee. Well, ultimately, we can only develop the quality of pure devotee by associating with a tattva-darshi, with a pure devotee of a Lord. Karna made a mistake because he wanted to develop the martial arts. So in terms of, everyone knows his original birth was quite divine, but he didn't know that. So ultimately, because he had been known to have a birth as a shudra, because his position that it wasn't understood properly by himself, he had to lie to Parashuram that, yes, I'm a Brahmin. Because Parashuram would only give instruction for Brahmins. But he was thinking, I better just say I'm a Brahmin, because then I can get the trained arts. So as you know the story, when one day he's lying and Parashuram is lying on his leg. And there was one dansha, one demon, who actually was cursed by one rishi in a previous birth to take birth as a worm which could eat flesh. So then he was sitting there and this worm went into his knee and went burrowed deep into his body. And he was experiencing pain, but he tolerated. Only a kshatriya can tolerate pain. So in this way, the blood began to go on the floor and touch Parashuram. Parashuram woke up. What is this? What is this? You're bleeding. How is this? And oh no, Karna goes, it was just some worm. How can you tolerate this kind of pain? You are not a Brahmin. How many Brahmins like pain? Sarananda, You like pain? Stubbing your toe as you walk out the door. Little pinky toe. It gives some balance to the body, but oh, it gives so much pain. No one relishes pain. But Karna, because he's Kshatriya, he had that ability. So Parashuram understood, this is Falgu Vairagya here. This is a false renunciation. You have not been truthful with me. So then Karna had to tell the truth. And then Parashuram cursed him. Well, as a result of this, you will actually forget your mantras at the right time, and you will die. So in this way, Karna had misunderstood the proper guru-disciple relationship. The relationship with guru-disciple must be a position of honesty. Because ultimately, the pure devotee can impart knowledge. Tad vidhi panipatena prishpasena sevaya upadikshyani te yanam jnanas tatvida darshanaha. That the pure devotee, by approaching the pure devotee, then one can get knowledge. He can invest transcendental knowledge in our life. Sometimes when we may have different opulences, we may try and hide that from the guru. We may hide, we may be duplicitous in our relationship. But what happens is, we undermine the instructions coming from the guru. You see, the guru has to be very careful. He will not give you an instruction you cannot follow. Because if you do not follow the instruction of guru, that could be guru aparad. So he's very, very careful, but all the while giving you the instructions, from the principal instructions to the detailed instructions of how to bring you closer and closer to him, to closer and closer to the parampara, closer and closer to the Supreme Lord in service. And in this way, one can follow all the instructions because it becomes a natural affair. So this is the importance of this association where we can come to the transcendental position. We see how, for example, Arjuna, he was placed into illusion by the Lord so the Lord could speak Bhagavad Gita. In this way, the devotee may think himself a fool. But we don't want to act like a fool. Now Arjuna was offering very wonderful reasons why he should not fight on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But ultimately, Krishna made it very clear that Ma Shuchaha, do not fear. You simply take shelter of my instructions and I will help you pass over the ocean of material obstacles, of material opposition. You see, this is real shelter, and we can take great guidance every day in the Bhagavatam. We're reading about the Lord, His pastimes, and His wonderful devotees who take shelter. That's how we can also, we shouldn't place these verses or these purports on a pedestal and see this is the topmost position, but for me, I remain like the owl, the owl in the cave. That, oh, I'm such a fallen devotee. Oh, I have so many problems. Prabhupada gives an example. You know, the owl inside the tree. Ooh, Mr. Owl, Krishna Surya Samayan Andhakar, where there's a light of Krishna, darkness cannot enter. But no, I want to stay in my insecurity world. I'm secure. It's amazing. The materialistic energy that people become secure in their insecurities. Like for myself, I remember I always like to spend times in the natural environments, the ocean and the sea. I never like to speak, you know, in front of other persons. But now, I have to make some quacking, some vibration in front of groups of persons. And some of us are traveling, just like, experience, you know, just like for you, you're traveling around the world, chanting the holy names. What a wonderful experience. You see, you realize the process of descension, how the grace comes from above. Because what can we do on our own strength? But connecting to Guru and Krishna, then, Dadami, Buddhi, Yoga, I'm telling you, there's full empowerment. So I was amazing, you know, I was when I first started practicing to distribute, to communicate Krishna consciousness, just like, for example, in distributing books or meeting persons, and saying things you've never said before. Isn't that amazing? Presenting different, or I always flashback to childhood experiences, because in my personality, I can remember very vivid experiences of my past. I won't share anything right now with you. But it gives you complete accuracy in terms of you come back into, just by presenting a Bhagavatam class, you get realizations of your past that you've never thought about. Or you say things, or you answer questions that no one's asking. Because ultimately, if you are trying to serve the pure devotee, evam param para praptam, then naturally, you'll be empowered. Krishna Shakti Vinayai Tarapavartana. There's a sense of empowerment. There's a sense of doing things that you couldn't do on your own strength. And this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. There's a sense of empowerment. So if we keep ourselves in our own world, that, oh, I'm just a little devotee and I'm so fallen. So fallen. So much stool in my heart. Look. Making, you know, someone, I'm not talking about anybody here. I'm speaking about principles, okay? Okay? This way I get off the hook, you know? You know, if I'm making garlands or something, don't worry, I'm not hitting on someone here. This principle, you know? And then I stop my, oh, I can't, hit your hand a few times. Oh, I can't do it. I just can't do it. But then sometimes you have the expert garland makers making really elaborate, a very elaborate garlands. You see, the point being is that as we serve the pure devotee, we have to become free from false ego. Because if we perform our sadhana, our spiritual practice, with desire for a pratishta, profit or adoration distinction, we lose the purpose. We become affected by the false ego. I'm a big devotee. Balaram Brahmachari. Big beads. And I hate women. I think I told a story in the last class. It was a real. Anyways, for those who have, I'll repeat it. You know, because it's a nice story. Kind of give you it humbles the brahmacharis a bit. No. But Bodhin Ryan told me a story when he was at TP in Chicago. I mean, in Buffalo, excuse me. And you know, there was one Balaram Brahmachari, big thick neck beads. Oh. So anyways, big, thick neck beads, you know. Hey, you know, big Balaram Brahmachari. 9 chickpeas a day. 2 chapatis. Man, he hates those women. Anyways, keep them in the back of the temple. Not after. Anyways, so what happened is that he was going in Harinam one day, and he loved Parupakar. You know, this is the nature, compassionate work of Vaishnavas. Distributing prasad. Harinam. Yes. And they had nice big sweets. And he would gallantly take these big plate of sweets, big strong brahmachari, and go down the side streets to distribute. Yes. The bums, you never know who's sleeping down the side street in Buffalo. So he would go, and Bodhin Rai was wondering, where is he going with all the tray? All the people are out here. So he kind of followed one corner, that corner, and then he saw the tray. Perpendicular. Glup, 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 glup. Boga Jiyag. Eat 100 sweets in one sitting. Ha! Distributed. Ho, Haribo, Haribo. So we become attached, you know, in terms of our external profile. Or even if you're making garlands. I remember I was at one temple, and there was one Mataji making very nice garlands. She was famous for making very nice garlands. It wasn't this temple, don't worry. So, very famous. I get myself off the hook, you know? And the thing is, it was known. It was like so intricate that if you put the garland on Prabhupada at the wrong slant, oh, you've ruined my masterpiece! This is the offering to Prabhupada! Like this. But if it's off, you've done it. And then she'd be very agitated. So you have to look before you, especially, you know, as a sannyasi, you're given the garland many times to give to Prabhupada. So it's like, oh, sometimes he's like, like this. And then you just have to surrender. Mataji, you know, kind of like, okay, thank you. Take the blessings. So in this way, we do not want to identify with the ego in sadhana. Because then our bhajan, then our sadhana becomes poison. Then we actually, the vibration we have in service means what? We're trying to enjoy Krishna. We're not acting in a capacity to be enjoyed by Krishna. That is the point of sadhana. That spiritual practice to understand that Gopi Patakamala or Dasa Dasa Nudas. I am a servant of a servant of a servant. When are you going to get it together? I always say the deity is always smiling. Two types of smiles. If you're surrendering nicely to Guru and Parampara, the deity is smiling with you and you're smiling with the deity. Natural. Devotees are so happy. But if you're hanging on to the little owl in the tree program, oh, Prabhu, I'm so small, I'm so fallen. Prabhupada said, you're not anything. Someone says, Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. You're not the most anything. Just sit down. So then we get in our kaleidoscope world, you know, that I have a small face and I have imperfections and this and that and I can't do anything. And then, we don't take shelter of the sadhus. We don't take shelter of the guru. Are we actually so impure? I mean, the sun can purify stool. So ultimately, the parampara, our guru and the parampara and the Lord can easily purify our heart. And this is the process of Krishna consciousness, the how to take shelter of the pure devotee, is that we come to this transcendental platform of loving relationships, loving exchanges with one another. As Prabhupada said in England, that it was a solo street, that you look to your right, look to your left, you never know who's sitting next to you. It could be Narada Muni. Huh? Look closely. When's the last time you offended a Vaishnava? No, but be careful, because you never know who you're dealing with. I was saying last night, there was doing the Skype, Guru Maharaj was taking prasadam, so I had the opportunity to speak. I just woke up because I was sleeping, and then Mahabharata, so you want to speak to Russian devotees? He's coming. You know, put some water or something like that, you know. But I was saying to the devotees that don't take your position for granted. We each have particular bodies that we're driving, male or female, American, Australian, Russian. It's a perfect design by the Lord, and the association, sarva-sangha-sarva-sangha-sarva-shastra-koi-lava-mantra-sarva-sangha-sarva-siddhi-hoi, it is a perfection. It is a perfect arrangement, and you can become free from all obstacles by this sadhu-sangha. So you never know who you are associating with. Because Krishna has made an orchestrated design perfectly. You have things to work on, and the Lord has given you a perfect arrangement, perfect association to help you work on that weakness, to give up that obstacle which is blocking your understanding of being enjoyed by the Lord. So we see different examples. Karna is one, and then Duryodhana. He had the opportunity to associate with Krishna. But because of his attachment to material things, then he became envious of the Pandavas. You may remember when, before the Kurukshetra war, Arjuna had gone to Krishna. And Duryodhana, he's also very expert. He went to Krishna first. So, see, because this verse is speaking about how a devotee of the Lord is transcendental. Here, the arch enemy, Duryodhana, to Arjuna comes. But out of respect, out of culture, he says, okay, you go ahead, you approach the Lord first. You ask, because they had to ask the Lord certain questions. They needed some help in the battle to come. So then, Arjuna, as he's a devotee, where did he go? By the bedside? No. He went to the lotus feet at the end of the bed. And Duryodhana goes right by the bedside. Right. But then Krishna wakes up. You see, what happens is, when we're attached to our ego, we're attached to our bhajan and sadhana, an external vision, we think in terms of a mechanistic way. Well, when you wake up, you're going to look straight ahead. So I'll get Krishna. I'll get the first choice. But Arjuna, Trinadapi Sunichana, he simply went by the lotus feet of the Lord, waiting. Because you see, a devotee has full faith in whatever arrangement Krishna is made. Krishna is directing that arrangement. It's a perfect design. So first of all, he gives, okay, Duryodhana, you, this is the culture. You ask Krishna first. So then Krishna, when he wakes up, where does he look? Not to his side, right to his feet first. And Duryodhana, oh, what's going on? This is cheating. Whenever you wake up, you always look to the side. No. But you never look to the feet. This is politics. You see, atmavam manite jagat. That you actually think everyone, the whole world works around the way you think. So then Duryodhana And then, you know, Arjuna goes, no, you can ask, no problem. Oh, so then Krishna says, okay, you come here for help. So then you can have the help of one, my Narayana Kavach army, very empowered army. You can take them, or you can have me. But by the way, I will not carry a weapon. I will not fight. I will water the horses only. I won't even, it even describe in the Mahabharata, I will not even give advice. Huh? Ha-ha! Krishna! Now, wait a minute. No advice, no inspiration, you know? And so he goes to Duryodhana. So you want the army, you want me? And then Duryodhana just calculates, ha-ha! Fuck that, man! You even ran away, Ranchor. You know, you ran away from the battle. You're not even, you know, he didn't say this to him. He said it out on the way out. But he said, you're not the real McCoy. I want your army! I got it all together. You compare all the armies in the world, against, for example, you know, some small little country, you know, like, for example, Israel or something. That's the odds of the Pandavas against the Kauravas when they have the whole army, when they have the whole Narayan Kavach army. So then Duryodhana saying, yes, I got the army. Ha ha. So then Krishna says, so what do you think, Arjuna? Do you agree with this? And then Arjuna's singing, Rake Krishna Marake, Marai Krishna Rake. If Krishna, you know, if you want to save me, no one can harm me. And if you want me to die, then there's nothing I can do. So in this way, Arjuna was simply happy to have his Lord on his side. Because Krishna broke two promises, actually. He gave advice. He spoke Bhagavad Gita. You know, Krishna, he can... It's all right for Krishna to lie. We have to follow certain principles because God can lie and get away with it. What did Ramachandra do when Suparnaka came, huh? And Lakshman, oh, you know, because she was so attracted to Lord Ram. Oh, Ram, ooh. She came in disguised form, you know, and she went, oh no, I have Sita. Sita, I'm already married, but Lakshman. He's not married, but he just got married before he came. He was married. Lord Ram, why? So then you know, Suparnaka, woo, Lakshman, woo, you know. So it goes back and forth. No, Ram's good. Ram's for you. You know, he's big and strong, carries a bow, you know, like that. Oh no, nice. No. So back and forth, and finally, you know, she got a little bit agitated and tried to attack Sita, and that's where she got a bit of a nose job. You see, it's a big thing in Hollywood, the nose job things, you know. So we see, it's. The Lord can lie, but it's all beneficial. So Krishna lied in the sense, I'm not going to give advice, he gave advice. I'm not going to carry a weapon, well, ultimately he picked up the wheel at one time, right? You know, when Bhishma had fought so valiantly. Of course, that's all Leela, and Arjuna was dragging, holding on to the Lord. The Lord makes these amazing arrangements. So in this way, a pure devotee, one who surrenders himself, understands how to take real shelter. Because when we become attached to the externals in terms of who we are, what kind of devotee we are, we become attached to the ego of sadhana, then we get ourselves into difficulty. Nardaji, he's an eternal associate of the Lord. And he got a bit of a false ego. Because you know, the whole time when Indra was very fearful about his position in heaven, and Indra actually tested him and sent Cupid to attract him in many ways, to allure him. The demigods have this activity. Sometimes they become envious of empowered jivas. So then Narada, simply by his focus and surrender to the Supreme, was able to conquer over the tests of Cupid. And he was glorified by the demigods. What happened with Mara? You see, Narada's bhajan was so focused that what happened was is that he got some taste from that a glorification. So then he goes to heavenly planets and he wants to see Indra, get some respect from him. The different demigods give him a certain respect, and oh, they're singing my glory, they're singing my praise. He became a little intoxicated, of course. Just like Arjuna became covered over to ask his questions, to not follow, to want to get instructions from the Lord. Or even we see how even Narada Muni at previous birth disobeyed Lord Brahma. You know, Lord Brahma said, "I want you to become a progenitor." And flag that, Dad! You know, no way! I'm a brahmachari. I'm a Balaram brahmachari. There's no way I'm getting married. You know. Then the argument goes back and forth. You know. And then Narada curses Lord Brahma, "You cannot be worshipped in any temple like that." And then Brahma curses, "Okay, well then you'll have 50 wives." Like this. So anyway, so you got Upavarna in his next life. That was Narada. It's a whole story. That's another thing. But we see how when these curses and counter curses go back and forth between the Lord and his devotee, it's meant to enhance the lila. So anyways, Narada Muni was very, at this point, he was covered over by the Lord, and he was becoming very proud. So then he goes before Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva, he's omniscient. He can understand there's some dirt in the heart. So he gives Narada instruction. You should not be glorified or try and be glorified, especially not to work in such a way to be glorified by the servants of Vishnu. But Narada Muni, he was a bit, you know, I know the philosophy. I know all this. So then he made defense to Lord Shiva. Then he went before Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu said, "My dear Narada, you have conquered your senses in so many ways. You're such a paka brahmachari." But how come? Where is this pride coming from? You see, Narada Muni goes, "Well, yes, I've conquered my senses. I was able to conquer Cupid by your mercy." But he had some abhiman, you know, there, that he would say something externally, but he would be thinking something else within. This is what we want to avoid. Doing external devotional service, but internally thinking of a different paradigm, a material paradigm. And we gave him some gross examples in terms of how the karmis, who don't have any shelter in a pure devotee, they don't have any shelter in terms of culture, doing the worst possible activities for their health, for those they come in contact with. So it becomes a very embarrassing scenario when a devotee who has so much knowledge, that we misuse the process. We become attached to these externals. We become attached to trying to manipulate, to control, to try to get some profit, adoration, and distinction. So then, maya sukhaya param vidobhi mudha, again we become burdened with these desires of how to enjoy Krishna. We forget the process means to be enjoyed by Krishna. So in this way, we can relish such stories, like for example, Gajendra. He was enjoying for so many big elephants, so empowered, so many she elephants, so many small ones around. And then he goes to that one lake. And then, what was it? Hoo-hoo, that was a demon who was cursed to get the body of a crocodile. And the crocodile is an animal of the water, natural. So then when Gajendra went into the water, he grabbed hold of the leg. And you had the she elephants and the little elephants pulling at the tail of Gajendra, pulling, trying to pull him back. And the elephant go back and forth. But the crocodile's feeding off the thorn juice. I mean, feeding off the blood. And in that way, became stronger and stronger. But because Gajendra was Indradumna, not King Indradumna, but Indradumna, a great devotee of the Lord in a previous birth, he remembered his different shlokas of supplication before the Lord, and he began to chant these mantras. And then Lord Vishnu heard, and even to the point, actually first it was like Lord Brahma had heard, and Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was, you know, Parvati was there. "Why don't you go help him?" He goes, no, this prayer is not for me." He's just sitting there. "The prayer is not for me. This is for Vishnu." And then Parvati goes, no, I will go. This is a plea of a poor devotee needing help." No, it's not for us." And then Lord Brahma, he similarly heard the prayers, but he did not come. But it's Lord Vishnu. These prayers are directed to Lord Vishnu, that when he was taking some prasad, and he even kicked over his plate to run, to go save Gajendra. He went so quickly, he jumped in the back of Garuda, and he went off. But he forgot his charter. Because in his pastimes, Lakshmi is always making sure, like the Lord, this time we dress the deities, everything's pukka, you know, everything's there, the flute in hand and all the nice upacharas and all these different sringar are there. She forgot his chatur, so Lakshmi had to run behind Lord Vishnu. What? You know, your pastimes have got to be completely pukka, everything there, you got to have your chatur. So in this way, then he went with the Sudarshan disc and then he saved both entities in this situation. But the Lord had heard the prayers of Gajendra, had heard the prayers of his sincere devotee, and despite an impossible material situation, the Lord came and changed the whole paradigm. As Prabhupada said, that we each have these lines in our hands. But when you, and they actually show it was the right hand, or if you're right handed or left handed, it shows a present birth, your present, you know, your present life. So ultimately, that is the, basically the material reality, having given you this body. But when you simply chant the holy names and clap your hands for the deities, the lines will change. Ultimately, there is the Krishna Graha. And by taking shelter of the Lord in that way, then our whole life can change. That we become attached to serving the Lord with our heart, not the head. And in this way, we understand the process of what is bhajan, what is real sadhana. Because if we don't understand the process, we may even see as the deity as an object of making money. Then the deity even becomes maya. For someone who sees the deity in an external way. So take advantage of your great fortune. In your great position, you have wonderful association, you have a wonderful temple, beautiful deities, wonderful congregation, to work in such a way to always remember and how we can serve one another in relationship to the Lord. That is how you can actually follow the example of the pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada. And in this way, develop the vibration of the Guru. And you can share that vibration. And I was saying to devotees in Russia, it can be either by a smile, or book in hand, or a wonderful bhajan, wonderful kirtan, that actually you'll be allowed, empowered to dance and attract others. Because the goal of life is not to go back to Godhead. The goal of life is to bring others back with us. To communicate Krishna consciousness. And this is Srila Prabhupada's wonderful genius, is that he empowered, he provided an arena where so many devotees of different backgrounds can work together to awaken their Krishna consciousness as distributors. And automatically, probably, like the mood is work now, samadhi later. The process by applying, by giving Krishna, automatically you attain Krishna. So then you're guaranteed to go back to Godhead. It's because Prabhupada said, it's for someone who simply follows the four regular principles, chanting a minimum of 16 rounds on beads. Just follow those principles. He pointed to each person, you and you and you and you, back to Godhead. That is Prabhupada's guarantee. So that is the same that applies to every one of us who takes shelter within his mission. But do not become wooded-headed. Take things mechanically and not take advantage of this great benediction. Prabhupada said for those devotees who worked on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, guaranteed to go back to Godhead. Benediction. But many of those persons aren't here today. Of course, devotional service is as a transcendental nature, one will pick up in a future situation. But do not give Krishna, give Radhavalva any post-dated checks. I will surrender later. Just surrender willingly. Just like the example of the wind and the sun blowing to take the person's coat off. The wind blows and blows, the coat is held on very much, but Krishna Surya Sam, then when the sun comes out, the coat, the chadar, the coat is taken off naturally. So as you develop these loving exchanges and service to Guru and Krishna, acting in the capacity of being enjoyed, you will become a pure devotee. And Prabhupada said, a mango is a mango. Doesn't matter what level. If you're following the process, there's different levels of mangoes, different ripeness, different levels of pure devotees, that ultimately you'll be able to become grounded in eternal service, of pure devotion, and also attract others to that eternal service. So I will stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes.
You gave the example of how we shouldn't be like an owl in a tree and think, I'm so fallen, I'll never make spiritual advancement. Sometimes when devotees criticise you, you can't help feeling that, you know, I belong in a tree, and so having fun with it.
If ultimately criticism is a very complicated affair, because in devotional service we have what's called constructive criticism. So in other words, if someone gives you advice, it'll be done in such a way to help you. Because if one criticizes another to disempower them, that's a bhakta aparadha, that's an offense. If you lose momentum. So in that sense, we have to be very careful, because Achyamuni said to the sadhyas that ultimately we don't criticize a criticizer. Because ultimately one who criticizes unjustly without uplifting that person, they take the pop of that person. And then you get the punya of that person. The criticized person gets the punya. It's a pious activity. So if you are rightly situated, you may make some mistakes, but if you are in your heart, you're trying to serve Guru and Krishna, consolation is you're getting their piety. And the consolation is that ultimately, but we simply want to act in a capacity to try and make sense to others, to act in such a way where they cannot find fault. Because then you can see it's Krishna's arrangement to boil the milk, to improve my program. But I mean, even we see in some circles, even someone is doing so much wonderful devotional service, and still they get criticized. So then you can see, well, you know, the story goes, when the father and the son are walking with the horse, right? And they're walking both on the ground, and they go to one village, there's no one on the back of the horse, and people criticize, what are you, foolish, use the horse, step on the horse. So then the son gets on the horse. And then the father's walking. The next village, what is this, little boy? Your old man's walking. What an offense. He should go on the horse. So the old man gets on the horse. And the son's walking. And he goes to the third village. Hey, old man, your poor boy's walking. He's got blisters on his feet. So in other words, you can't please everybody all the time. So there will always be criticism in this material world. And you can see it as a blessing from the Lord that ultimately, maybe in my previous situation, I fell into the bad habit of criticizing others. But even though on the absolute level it did not happen, if you take that position of humility, Prabhupada says in the Krishna book, one's spiritual advancement is based on your ability to tolerate. So in other words, if you respond to that situation, the proper light, by tolerating. Or maybe, let's say you're making some mistake, you can think that, well, what happens is, maybe they're trying to correct me in the wrong way, but the thing is, I have done something to make them think like this, and they have the wrong attitude, they're making offense, so let me clean up my act, so that they don't make offense. See, this is the power of Krishna consciousness, that whatever happens is perfect and complete. But if we think in terms of I'll, it's, in other words, me, it's not we. You're in this with Guru. You have a whole parampara. You have a whole Krishna. Krishna's there. Prabhupada said, you know, you look everywhere. You look behind the lamppost. There's Krishna. He's Sarvagata, he's all-pervading. He's a nice purport like that. Even the lamppost, there's Krishna. So in other words, you're not alone. This is the Maya. We are alone. I'm all by myself. Oh, Prabhu. So much problem. You're not alone. And when you see the arrangements come your way, then you act in capacity to make sense. You see, Prabhupada has taught us the most topmost siddhanta. He says you must be mad within. His purports, there's depth charges. You should see Krishna as a friend. You must become mad. Within! You make sense without. You see? We get the best of both worlds. We can be mad, you know. We can be mad hatters within. But we're making sense without. This is the process of Krishna consciousness. So this is why all these experiences, we become a little wooden-headed and mechanical in the beginning. That we may see that, not see the Krishna graha, the Krishna's arrangement here. But have faith. And even though you may slip, apicca sudaracharo, you may slip, you may make a mistake in appreciating Krishna's arrangement for you. You get up and fight again, you get up and fight again, you get up. And finally, you'll be able to, as a toddler begins to walk, and that toddler will someday become to run, become like an Olympic athlete. You too, in connection to parampara, this will happen, guaranteed to come your way. And then, when you look back at all the difficulties and all the days you wanted to run into the tree, and just get away from it all. I remember Hridayana Maharaj once. It wasn't Hridayana Maharaj. One other devotee who was a big book speeder in America, you know. I know it was Preetu had said this when he was living in San Diego. Just after a nice bunch of prasad, you know, just to lie back and say goodbye to the world. You know, it was kind of at that time, kind of joking, that we lose conception as we serve and learn from our mistakes, that we're meant to be enjoyed by Krishna, and then all of a sudden, you look back into your past of all the difficulties, you wouldn't change them one iota, because it's brought you to where you are this very day. Look at all the mistakes you may have made in the past. But look at all the right choices. Be positive. Look at you. You have devotee sangha around you. You have darshan with Krishna. So in this way, you've been blessed. But just take advantage of the blessings. Did you have a question?
Yeah. Back to Siddhartha.
Yes.
Can you, in your, this particular slide, to around your comments, can you give us some enchanted view of the situation in society as we're facing it from this last decade and moving into this new decade? Have you got a view, and particularly in relation to how Krishna consciousness will affect, how it will best affect society over the next decade?
It's interesting, we see many natural catastrophes, I mean unnatural, but man-made catastrophes in the world. Like you have 9/11, you have so many wars. I was in a bookshop the other day and there was one book on all the world wars and, you know, throughout history in the last 100 years, you know. Just flipping through the pages, and I was just seeing, you know, just so many situations. It's just based on aggression, attachment to something that we're not. And there's so many world wars and empowered nations fighting like this due to a formula of zeros, that we are the controllers, we are powerful. So the Krishna conscious answer is ultimately one before the zeros. We place Krishna in the center, that ultimately there could be no peace formula, there could be no peace in this world unless we work in harmony with the Absolute. So then when we study the different horrific situations that happen in the world, and we study the different, dramas of how to live in this world. For example, to be in harmony with nature, how to clean up society, how to clean up. We talk about like Greenpeace, all these things. These are all nice, but still it's blowing the boil. You ever had a boil? You're very painful. Not going to do anything. You have to actually, in the worst case scenario, have surgically take it out. So the point being is that when a devotee looks at environmental concerns, or for example, Greenpeace, live in harmony with nature. Not that you put your battleship in front of other battleships and you're chewing a Mac hamburger on the same battleship. There's a juxtaposition. There's a problem there. You're causing violence. But you have to understand, there is a great beauty in cleaning, taking care of nature. And it's so wonderful, for example, Western countries, you could find if you drop, you know, trash here and there. Fortunately, India's got a lot to learn, even the holy dhams, that there's a misconception of how to simply take care of the local surroundings. Of course, you go to Tirumala in Balaji. You will not. The government runs that whole temple. You cannot find a cigarette butt. That's like amazing in India. Everything's perfect. So when you look at the modern concerns of ecology, modern concerns of taking care of nature, a devotee can see that ultimately, if our heart is not clean within, it cannot be clean without. So the modern concerns, in other words, real purity, real cleanliness in nature is to see Krishna everywhere, to see Krishna in everyone's heart, in every single atom, and not to misuse his energy. So in other words, a devotee sees these different concerns, or this battle, this 9/11, you know, the whole science of 9/11, you know, I mean, you know, not get into a whole other conversation, but ultimately, what appearances aren't actually what really happened. So ultimately, it comes down to basic corruption and misuse of independence. So these tragic situations. Now we have to, as preachers, as communicators of Krishna consciousness, when people ask 9/11, what do you people think about that? We can't just say, well, it's all their karma. Though in one respect, it is. But we have to respond to that misunderstanding, that tragic situation in a light of in a positivism that ultimately that we can point out in the rest of the world there's so many problems, but we really want to understand that we do not belong in this material world. If you see your face in the mirror, you've made a wrong turn somewhere. There's something always wrong with the face in the mirror. Actually, you're spirit soul. And you're meant to be driving, and you're driving a bile of, you're driving a body made of bile, mucus, and air. You are actually Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. That ultimately, Krishna is eternal. The living entity is also eternal. But the difference is that we are not as cognizant, as we do not have full remembrance of the Supreme. So in this way, a devotee sees how to present Krishna consciousness according to time and place. Ramananda Roy went before Lord Chaitanya as a king, and he embraced Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya also, this is an eternal associate, but he had to be careful not to get too close because others would misunderstand. So the point being is, answering your question, Prabhupada has trained us to see things as they are. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. You'll never be happy with material scenarios. So now we have to become communicators. I don't like to use the word preacher. I say communicator. Because preacher has a misconception that you throw a book in someone's face, you know, and you accept, that's the way, the truth, and the light. But also, we're communicators. We, as communicators, have to place ourselves in the shoes of others. In other words, to figure out the ways and means to respond to a heavy statement. This is a terrible thing that's happened. Now, if we're a cosmetic communicator, we'll say, oh, it's just your karma. People will be offended by that. But no, we have to understand, show them the whole picture. So then, if we can place ourselves in the shoes of others, then we can only do that in one condition, that we at least place ourselves in the shoes of the devotees who are around us. You see, a devotee will see world situations are pretty catastrophic out there. We've got to have it together. So first of all, let us have it together within our temple environments in terms of loving exchanges. Krishna is known as Rasa Vaisaha, the reservoir of Ras. And if we, as I explained earlier, act on a platform of Vaidhi in terms of where our ego gets in between, that I'm a big devotee, I'm an advanced devotee, we will not be able to see each other as parts and parcels. Actually, we're all expansions of Krishna of different degrees. The jiva is energy. Qualitatively not one, but qualitatively is a similarity. So the point being is that when one develops, like a Uttama Adhikari, Prabhupada saw all the jivas sent to him by his guru. So when you develop this type of vision, that actually when you're bathing the deity, when you're dressing the deity, as Prabhupada said in New Dwarka, that the Mataji said, I am dressed the deity this today. And Prabhupada said, no, you are not. You did not dress the deity. The deity dressed themselves. Think about that meditation. The deity dressed themselves. Now the deity is actually doing all the work making garlands. They're doing it themselves through you. So you, a high-level devotee will see that actually Krishna is worshipping himself. And it just so happens he's using you and you and you. Krishna's doing everything. Because when you go in the spiritual world, you'll act in the capacity of being enjoyed by Krishna in every situation. This is the process. Krishna is doing everything. We are never separated from Krishna. It's only the Maya that makes us think there is some separation. So you think about that. Krishna is worshipping himself, and we are becoming willing instruments in the service of the Lord. Actually, there is a oneness. There is true oneness. And the only oneness is not identity, which the impersonalists and this earlier chapter describes, the limitations of the impersonalists. There is a oneness of will. That's the process. Krishna has a plan. He has a program. Are you going to link with that program? Link with Krishna's will. And if you do that, then you will be enjoyed by Krishna. Then you'll become a pure devotee. Then you can see the world situation in a proper way. And ultimately, get focus on how you can help your locality first. Don't get so caught up in save the world, and then at the same time, don't follow the process yourself. But help on the personal level, collective level in the temple, and then you can spread out and reach the world. And that's the mercy. That's the empowerment, parampara. So you're not alone in this. And then when you see these difficulties happen, first of all, your realization of the material energy, how it's covering, and a covering potency, and a pulling potency, and then you will see how to work in the hands of the Supreme and dance on His behalf. And that's full freedom. And you can experience that in this life. And by people watching you, they'll be pulled. They want to come back. You'll be doing such wonderful communication work that way, bringing persons back to Godhead. Yes, Maharaj.
Maharaj, would establishing Daivi Varnashram be helpful? Because we know that mode of ignorance in people increases more and more. And when mode of ignorance increases, it brings distraction. We know the result of the mode of ignorance. And that aggression and everything will bring the nature problems from the nature problems from the ignorance.
Yes, certainly. This is the Vedic system. Prabhupada gave, first of all, Prabhupada's program was to make brahmanas out of malechas. To start there. And when the brahmanas become Vaishnavas, which is the topmost platform, then it's like a Christmas tree. You get the tree. First of all, we need brahmins. First of all, we have to train persons who have been forgetful of Krishna how to remember them. Then you decorate the tree, and this is Daivi Varnashram. You need a facility where persons of different orders can work in harmony. So yes, it's like a decoration of the tree. The tree doesn't look beautiful unless you have the decorations. They're both interdependent. But Daivi Varnashram will not have effect unless we get the tree first. Unless we learn how to become brahmanas. And how we learn to become transcendentalists. Meaning that we have to learn this principle of being enjoyed by Krishna. Not, as I said earlier, become attached to the externals. That our ego gets in the way of our sadhana. Because sadhana is a practice. It's a means to the ends of love for Krishna. So all things are interrelated. But the problem, we want to be conscientious. Don't bring the cart before the horse. Because what happens is that if we're not brahminically sound, we don't have loving exchanges, then there's no question of anashram. Because we do not know how to interact the various varnas and ashrams. So in one sense, they're like a yin, they're interdependent. But first we have to develop brahminical qualities. And we're doing that in many ways, but still we have a lot to work on. And if you look at the history, even in our society, we have many, many farm communities where there's no Daivi Varnashram system. So we have to work. We have to make working formulas. So as I said, it's like the decoration and the Christmas tree. They're interdependent. But to make it work, we have to develop that service attitude towards the Lord, becoming not external Brahmins, but servants of the Lord. Seva. This is the point. What ties all these things together is seva. Service. Everything is there. Everything is based on seva. This is what chanting Hare Krishna does. It's not that we chant Hare Krishna, "Oh Prabhu, I'm doing my rounds, I can't do service." You see? Because you're chanting, your nam seva won't have effect. The chanting asks for service, but we have to understand everything's based on seva. And when we develop brahminical qualities, then diving in ashram, this mood of service attitude will transform the hearts of those who are the kshatriyas and those the vaishyas and those who are the brahminical class to work as a team players. The best sports teams are team, everyone's a team player. But if we set up Daivan Ashram and that, you know, I'm the Brahmin, you should worship me. I'm a shot. In other words, we're not working in terms of a team effort. So it's essential to have it. But we have to have the foundation of being servants of the Lord. So the future is very bright though, no doubt. Any other points? Yes?
Maharaj, how could you have that mentality of I enjoy it? How could you have that mentality that I want to enjoy this, I want to enjoy it?
How to develop the mentality of being an enjoyer? I want to enjoy?
To
be enjoyed.
Give up.
Give up, yes. Because we're already expert at that one. Expert at that. Well, if we study the devotees of the Lord around us, this mood towards service, selflessness. See, to be an enjoyer, ahankara vimudatma, I am selfish. Devotees are selfless. Even was it Lord Krishna, when they had the big Ashwamedha Yajna, he would go around and clean up the plates, the remnants left by all the visitors. That was the supreme Bhagavan. It is such a humble service. The secret is seva, it is service. And so then, the more we see around us those who have a service attitude, then we'll imbibe that mood of thinking of a selfless way. Not selfishness places us in maya of becoming enjoyers. Selflessness. And then we see in Krishna's pastimes and his leelas how there is this mood of service, competition of the gopis making arrangements to please Krishna. And then the gopas making arrangements to please the Lord. And then Krishna would want to do some service to them. When the jiva goes back to the spiritual realm, it's described that even though the jiva has been in the material world for many billions of births, but it's no blink, it's only a blink of an eye in terms of the spiritual time. Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes a blink of an eye is spiritual time. But when Krishna sees you, he puts on a whole drama. Oh, it's been millions of years, and he passes out. And then the jiva sees, oh my Lord, and the jiva passes out. And then Krishna gets up again, and the Krishna passes out. Oh, you've come back, you know. And the jiva gets up, oh, I can't believe I'm back. Back and forth, back and forth. Finally, it's described that Krishna will not wake up. And that jiva, who's coming back to the spiritual world, is the only person who can awaken the Lord, massage his legs, like that. But wait a minute, in reality, it's just been a blink of an eye you've been away. Isn't that God? That even though it's a blink of an eye of separation, he puts on a whole road show. So then he can just get... Can you imagine that? So Krishna, this is a supreme enjoyer. So in this way, if we understand the Lord's mood of how he develops so much pleasure by allowing us, by having us willingly want to be enjoyed by him. You see, his response, we come back to the Goloka Vrindavan, he acts this way. So, in your sadhu sangha, you can understand this point, you must be enjoyed. And you see, the happiest devotees are those who act in a way to serve the others. And in this way, you'll make such wonderful spiritual advancement. And it becomes very, very easy. It becomes very, very natural. And the big boulder-like pediments that we may have, keeping us in the tree of Maya, will become like pebbles and be able to kick aside. You'll make wonderful advancement. And you'll help others kick off. See, the thing is, the tests you're experiencing now are there for a reason. Because when you overcome the tests, you'll teach by example. You'll help others out of the same problem and the same difficulty. So you're so fortunate. So stay together. Don't leave. This is the problem. Once you leave, then the owl magic starts again. You're back in the tree. Ooh, my apartment. Ooh. But stay in devotee association. But don't act in the capacity to drive others out. You have to see the good qualities, like he's making a point. Maybe someone has criticism not based on spiritual upliftment for that person. Then they have difficulty. You notice there's so in a movement, our biggest problem is that we're chanting the holy name, wanting the material amelioration, whether it's money or whether it's to attract the opposites or this or that. That's when the Namaparad steps in. Until it becomes external. We start offending the Vaishnavas. We commit some side of offense. Then the reaction set in. Then we begin to think of, again, this conception of I'll, not wheel. We're always in this together. So you're in a very great position. So when you go to internationally, you go to a transit lounge, you behave yourself in the airport. You just pay the tax, packing your bags, just do all the rules and regulations. Just like when I was coming here the other day, when I went to the Rarotech dinner, I was dressed in my cloth, I was coming from Perth like that, and I kind of like made a dance to the machine. You go back and walk through properly. I'm just joking around, you know. So just don't joke around when it comes to travel. So the transit, you're in the transit lounge now. It's like in the material field, but as Prabhupada says, the temples are Vaikuntha. So you have a choice how long you want to stay in the transit lounge. Behave yourself. Serve the Vaishnavas. And in this way, you'll actually make the best use of the situation. So, and there's so many others. So they're all together for a reason. So serve each other. And then you're guaranteed to make the best use of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur of the bad bargain. Hare Krishna. I'll stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jagu Srila Prabhupada ki.
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati ki.